Big Audio presents Mark Dalton, Owner Operator. Book number 2, Reefer Madness and More Tales of the Open Road by Ido Van Belkin. Copyright 2008, Ido Van Belkin. Performed by David Coyne and the Graphic Audio Player. Episode number 9, A Man, His Truck, and a Woman.
Mark Dalton finished topping up Motherlode 2's tanks, picked up a cup of coffee and a copy of the Toronto Sun, then parked his rig in the far corner of the Husky lot so he could give his dispatcher, Bud, a call.
Yellow.
Bud, this is Mark.
Mark who?
Mark Getsigo.
What? Mark Getsigo? Is that you, Dalton?
Oh, so now you know who I am?
What do you want?
A load would be nice.
Yeah, for you and me both.
You haven't got anything?
Dead as a raccoon run over by a freight liner.
You sure you haven't got something there in the office for me? You know, Mark Dalton, the guy you always give the tough assignments to, because you know he'll get the job done. You haven't got any work for that guy?
Yeah. Nice try, Dalton. But this time when I say I ain't got any work, I really ain't got any work.
Come on, bud. I've got payments to make, and the bank's not gonna care if you don't have any work for me.
Well, there is something.
What? Tell me, I'll do it.
There's a guy I know who owns a container company out by the airport. He says he's looking for drivers and owner-operators to do city routes for him, day and night.
Where's the place? I'll check it out.
Bud gave him the info. Mark was hooked up to a standard 40-foot chassis less than 30 minutes after arriving at the Land and Sea Transport Yard in Mississauga. However, 2 hours after that, he was still sitting in line at CN Brampton waiting for his container. Once he finally got the container, it took him less than 20 minutes to make the delivery. Then it was back in line at the rail yard waiting for another container. He got the box loaded onto his chassis at 4:45 p.m. But by the time he got to the warehouse, it was after 5 and the loading dock was closed for the day. Frustrated by the day's events, Mark had no other choice than to go back to the yard and sit there with the load until the warehouse opened again at 8 a.m. the next morning. As he checked out his paperwork for the day, Mark calculated that when all things were considered, like fuel, insurance, and wear and tear on his truck, he'd probably made all of $50 on the day. And when you calculated that amount in terms of the time it had taken to earn it, he'd probably earn less than $10 an hour for his trouble. $50 was more than he would have earned doing nothing all day, and it was only a short-term thing until Bud found a decent long-haul load for him. With a couple of hours until his regular bedtime, Mark locked up his rig and took a walk. There were a couple of strip joints near the yard, but Mark wasn't in the mood for peelers. Something to eat, a cup of coffee, and a newspaper were more his speed tonight. So he decided to get a sandwich at a deli just down the road from the yard. She caught his eye the moment he walked through the door. She was older than him by a few years, but she was tall and fit, with a body that suggested a maturity and experience that younger women just couldn't match.
Hey there! Sit wherever you like.
Her smile was another new surprise. Bright, warm, looked like she was genuinely glad to see him. She poured Mark a cup of coffee before he even sat down.
What'll you have?
Some kind of sandwich.
She was just so attractive, the sort of woman he'd been looking for ever since his first marriage had crashed and burned.
Well, tuna's good.
I'll have that then.
Sure thing, darling.
She quickly walked off to place the order. A few minutes later, she was back, placing the meal in front of Mark.
What's your name?
Her smile grew even wider.
Well, aren't you forward?
What is it?
Tanya.
Mine's Mark. Mark Dalton.
Mark took a look around the mostly empty shop.
Why don't you sit down? We could talk.
Tanya hesitated at first. Then, after looking around herself and verifying that the place could get along just fine without her services, she sat down across the table from Mark. And they chatted until closing time. The next day, Bud still didn't have any long-haul loads, but Mark didn't care so much. He gladly spent the entire day picking up three loads and earning $100 for the day just so he could visit Tanya in the coffee shop later that evening.
I was worried you weren't going to drop by.
Of course I'd be coming by. Sandwiches I can get anywhere, but there's only one Tanya.
I'm not doing anything after closing time. Do you have a car? Maybe we could go for a ride somewhere.
I don't exactly have a car, but the ride is smooth enough.
I'll see if I can get off early.
They drove around in Mother Lode for a couple of hours just talking, then parked for a while at the end of one of the airport's runways to watch the planes take off and land. They kissed a little, but Mark didn't sleep with her that night. Like a gentleman, he brought her home to her apartment and spent another night in Mother Lode. The following night, however, both he and Tanya seemed ready for a more physical relationship. After Tanya got off work, Mark drove straight to her place where they immediately wound up in bed. In the morning, Mark debated whether he should get out of bed to haul containers and earn less than a C-note for his troubles.
Dalton, it's Bud.
Bud who?
Don't give me that crap, Dalton. I got a load of car parts headed for Edmonton. You want it?
Yeah, sure, great.
Bud gave him the details. When he hung up the phone, Tanya rolled over.
What's so great? As if I have to ask.
Oh, that was my dispatcher. He's got a load for me. A good load, so, I've got to go.
What? You're leaving just like that? After what we just...
It's not like that at all. It's a good load and I need the money. And I'll be back. I promise you that.
Where are you going?
Edmonton.
Alberta? How long will you be away?
Just a couple of days. Maybe a bit longer if I get something out of Edmonton heading west.
Like to where?
Vancouver, probably.
I don't believe this.
Tanya slid a hand over his chest and belly.
Everything's going so well. Are you sure you have to go?
Mark considered it. She'd make a very persuasive argument for staying. But the bottom line was that living and working in the city was costing him too much money. He had to get out and start putting kilometers under his wheels.
I've got to start taking some loads that really pay, or I could have trouble hanging onto my truck.
Tanya's shoulders slumped in obvious disappointment.
I'll be waiting for you when you get back.
Mark reached Edmonton before noon. After dropping his trailer off at the auto parts warehouse, he picked up a cup of coffee at the nearest Tim Hortons and sipped it, wondering who he should call first, his dispatcher Bud for a new load or his new flame Tanya for some tender words.
Hello.
Hi, it's Mark.
Mark?
Mark? Mark Dalton?
Oh, hey, hi, Mark. Where are you?
Edmonton.
Oh, that's so far away.
It's where I had to deliver my load.
When are you coming home?
As soon as I can, babe.
Well, when's that?
I don't know. I've got to call my dispatcher and see where the next load is going.
It's going to Toronto, right?
Maybe. I don't know for sure. I've got to see what he's got for me.
There are trucks that go from Edmonton to Toronto, right?
Every day.
So get one of those and come back to me.
I'll see what I can do, but to be honest with you, Bud isn't in charge of every truck that leaves Edmonton. He has what loads he has, and if he's got a load that's going back to Toronto, great. If not...
If not, you'll wait for one, right?
Mark moved the phone from his mouth.
Damn. Let me call Bud, and I'll get back to you in a few minutes.
Okay. I'll be waiting for your call.
Yellow.
Bud, this is Mark. Mark Dalton. I'm in Edmonton right now, and all I want to hear from you is that you've got a load for me headed east.
Now what the hell kind of hello is that?
Bud, I need to get back to Toronto.
What is it? Something wrong with your parents?
No, nothing like that.
And what is it?
You know that new woman I met, Tanya?
Yeah, she sounded hot.
She is. And she misses me and has been on my case big time about coming back home.
Oh,
what is it?
The amazing Mark Dalton, got in by a woman.
So do you have a load for me or not?
Sure, I got a load headed for Toronto next week. But right now I got a half a dozen loads headed for Vancouver and Seattle. One for Prince George and two for Victoria. You can wait there for the Toronto load, or you can take a load west and get another one back again, then pick up the Toronto load when it ships.
Damn.
Hey, I'll get you back home, but you gotta give me some time. Besides, those loads west are good ones. Earn yourself a bit of coin.
No, it's not that. I'm not looking forward to calling her back and giving her the news.
Do you want a load or not?
I'll take one, sure. What have you got?
Bud gave Mark the info, and minutes later he was dialing Tanya's number.
So, when are you coming home?
Next week sometime.
What? I have to wait another 7 days before I see you?
Closer to 10.
Oh, Mark. Don't you want to see me?
Of course I do, but I've got to make a living. Bud's got a load headed for Toronto, but it doesn't leave for a few days yet. In the meantime, I can make a run to the coast and pick up some extra cash before heading home. I'll bring you something nice.
That would be nice. Earrings or maybe a bracelet?
Jeez.
What was that?
Hey, you got it.
I guess I could wait a little while longer. After all, it'll make our reunion all the more exciting.
Exciting? Yeah. If I don't go broke first.
Mark took a load into Seattle, deciding to do a bit of shopping at the duty-free store at the border. They had a range of bracelets there, still pretty expensive despite the tax break. He decided on a mid-range gold number with a wheel pattern running all the way around it. If nothing else, he thought, it might remind her of him whenever he wasn't around. After the delivery in Seattle, Mark took a load out of Vancouver headed for Edmonton. In Edmonton, the load Bud had promised was still waiting for him.
At least Bud's holding up his end of the bargain.
Now, if only Tanya was waiting for him, and not too angry about him spending so much time away from her. Mark gave her a call as he cruised down Highway 400 past Innisfil, and warned her that he was less than an hour's drive away.
I'll be waiting for you.
Mark pressed a little harder on the accelerator. Mark pulled up in front of Tanya's house just over an hour later, grateful she lived near a shopping mall that didn't object to drivers parking their rigs in the lot. After turning off the ignition, but before the engine of his 379 had come to a complete stop, Mark was stuffing the bracelet box into his jacket pocket and running his fingers through his light brown hair. Mark climbed down from the cab, locked the door, and hurried across the street, feeling like a teenager before a hot date that he knows will get him laid. And then, just as he stepped onto Tanya's front walk, her door opened. There, standing in the doorway, was Tanya, dressed in a shimmering short slip, just like the one Elizabeth Taylor wore in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. In other words, she looked hot. Mark bounded up the walk, climbed the steps two at a time, and was greeted by a pair of open arms and the warmest, wettest kisses he had had in years. They stumbled inside the house, the door banging shut behind them. The door didn't open again for 2 full days, and all during that time, all Mark could think of was why he had stayed away so long. Mark picked up his cell phone.
Don't tell me. You've got to get back out on the road.
Mark put the phone back down.
Well, I do need to make a living.
And the only way you can do that is by driving far away from me?
It is what I do. I was driving long haul when I met you, and in fact, that was the thing that brought us together.
I know you have to drive. I don't want to change that. It's just that, well, why do you have to drive to such faraway places?
I get paid for each kilometer I drive. The more kilometers I drive, the more money I make.
But there are plenty of truck drivers who work in the city. They earn a living too, don't they?
I guess so, but it's a tough way to make good money.
Maybe. But think of all the fringe benefits there would be to working in the city and staying close to home. We could be together every night.
Well, I guess I could see if I could get some work in and around town.
Mark managed to get some work at Land and Sea Transport in the northeast end of Mississauga. The company specialized in picking up containers in the CN yard in Brampton, or sometimes the rail yard in Vaughan, and delivered them throughout the GTA. It was decent enough work if everything went smoothly with your pickups and deliveries, but more often than most, something would go wrong to waste Mark's time. And time in this kind of job meant money, regardless of how many kilometers you drove. For example, it wasn't uncommon for him to spend two or more hours in the line at the Brampton Yard, only to reach the front of the line and be told that his paperwork was wrong, or they didn't have the container yet. When that happened, an entire afternoon would be lost with no pay and fuel expenses to cover. On other days, he could make three or four drops, earning money each time he picked up or dropped off a container, as well as for the kilometers driven. But even those days could be trashed if he pulled up to a warehouse just after 5 and wouldn't be allowed to drop his trailer. Then he would have to take the load back to the yard and deliver it again in the morning, making the trip twice and getting paid once, and missing out on a new load in the morning. And then there were those hidden charges that didn't become apparent until payday. Mark had been working for Land and Sea for just under a month, and had been looking forward to receiving his first paycheck. He'd been calculating his income daily based on the rates and pay scales the company had provided him, and he figured he had earned somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000. But when he opened the envelope and saw the check, he was surprised and angered to see an amount of just over $1,000. Mark stood on the other side of the desk in the office of the company accountant, a short, squat man named Alfredo.
What's this?
Well, what's what?
This!
Mark held up the check so the guy could see it.
I know it's my paycheck. I calculated my pay every day, and it's about $1,000 short.
Alfredo put on his glasses and took the check and its accompanying pay stub from Mark's hand.
No, see here? You were docked for damage to the chassis.
What? What are you talking about?
Alfredo spun around in his chair and accessed a file folder in the cabinet behind him.
Last Tuesday, you were driving TZ-19-6001. When you left the yard, the chassis checked out okay, but when you came back, it was damaged. We charged the cost of repairs to the chassis to the driver. And in this case, that was you.
But the security guard just waved me through on my way out that day. I didn't know I had to stop to be inspected.
Every time, in or out, empty or loaded.
Yeah, I know that now. And that chassis was damaged way before I used it.
Could have been. I'll have to look in the file for other inspection sheets to see if it was damaged before you used it.
So I'll get my money then.
Eventually. We'll hold on to it until we get everything straightened out.
And how long will that take?
I don't know. We're really busy these days. But don't worry. I'll get to it.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Mark could feel the anger churning inside him. This was a scam, plain and simple. But the company held all the cards, and he was helpless to do anything about it. If nothing else, it was a powerful reminder to Mark as to why he preferred driving long haul. That night, lying in bed after yet another intimate encounter with Tanya, Mark tried to broach the subject of taking a long haul load.
But why? You've been working every day.
I know, but I'm not making any money.
That's because your truck is too new.
What?
Your truck's too new. It costs too much, and it's too good to just drive around the city.
I don't understand what you're getting at. Sure, my truck's new, but I've got to use it now when it's the most economical to run. Besides, that's not why I came up short with my pay.
A husband of a friend of mine does the same thing you do, but he owns a 10-year-old truck, and he makes a very good living.
Well, if I was married with a couple of kids and a mortgage to pay, then I might drive a rust bucket that works just well enough to make it from the rail yard to the delivery destination, too. But I've got a brand new Pete, and I need to run highway miles with it to make
it. I called her last night. Her husband knows a man with a 1992 Volvo with just over 400,000 highway kilometers on it. He's willing to let it go for a really good price. Well, what do you think?
I'll think about it.
In the morning, after Tanya had gone off to work, Mark called Bud looking for a load that required a long, long haul.
I got a load going out to Winnipeg. Pick up as late this afternoon.
Do you have anything farther?
Okay, how about Calgary?
Anything else?
Maybe Edmonton. Let me look.
Well?
You want far, right?
Yes.
How's Yellowknife sound?
Yellowknife? What goes into Yellowknife by truck?
Just about everything, my friend.
Oh, great. Put me down for a load.
Okay, but you'll have to pick up that load in Saskatoon.
No problem.
And I suppose you'll want to load out to Saskatoon as well.
Would be nice.
I can give you a load to Regina, but you're going to have to bobtail it from there to Saskatoon.
No problem.
And you'll have to hurry if you want to pick up the load for Regina. It's a last-minute sort of thing, and they want someone there for the load by noon today.
I'll be there.
Hey, what's going on with you, Dalton? Why you want these long hauls for, anyway? I mean, you're supposed to be in tight with that hot new lady friend of yours.
I'll leave her a note. It's an emergency, after all. You said so yourself.
I said it was last minute, not an emergency. You'll be driving breakfast cereal into Yellowknife, not medical supplies.
Yeah, well, I just need to get away from her for a while. Besides, what she doesn't know won't hurt her.
She's not the one I'm worried about. Anyway, give me a call when you get into Regina.
Will do.
Mark had his cell phone turned off all the way out of Ontario. He turned it on while in Manitoba, but only long enough to make his calls before turning it off again. As he approached the border between Manitoba and Saskatchewan, Mark turned on his cell phone and left it on, expecting it to start ringing at any moment. But after making it all the way into Saskatchewan without a call, he decided there was no point in waiting any longer. He couldn't avoid the inevitable forever, and knew he would have to speak with her eventually.
Hello?
Hi, babe. It's Mark.
Where the hell are you?
Oh, sorry I haven't called, but I've been in such a rush to get this load delivered, I haven't had time to call.
You haven't had time to call in 2 whole days?
Judging by the change in her voice, it was obvious she was having trouble believing him. But Mark had taken his story too far to change it now.
Oh, man, I've been driving hard since I picked up this load. Every off moment I've had has been used for sleep. I'm exhausted. But it's important this load gets there on time.
Is it really an emergency?
Absolutely. There are people in town counting on this load getting through.
Well, okay. But call me when you make the delivery. I want to know when you're coming back home to me.
Sure thing. I'll call you when I get there.
Miss you.
Miss you too.
Mark got the load to Regina without a problem.
Here goes nothing.
You're coming home now, right?
Mark wondered if she'd forgotten how to say hello.
Right?
I've got to head over to Saskatoon for another load.
Another load? Is it going to Toronto?
I'm afraid not. This one's going to Yellowknife.
Yellowknife? In the Northwest Territories?
That's the one.
Don't you want to come home to me? I thought you liked me and wanted to be with me. Isn't what we had together worth coming home to?
Of course it's worth
it. Then why are you going to Yellowknife?
A trip to Yellowknife will pay enough to let me work in Toronto for a month or two.
Oh, okay then. But you come home after Yellowknife, all right?
Yeah, well, I'll call you when I get there.
She'd taken his having to be away for several more days pretty well. But then again, he'd sugarcoated his reasons for taking the load. Mark wasn't sure that he'd be able to put up with this sort of bickering every time he drove long haul, and vowed that his next call to her would be the one that would decide the fate of their future together. Mark fingered the dial pad of the telephone as he procrastinated over making the call. Yellowknife was an interesting city, one that he would have liked to spend some time getting to know better if only he had the time. Unfortunately, there was someplace else he needed to be.
Yellow.
Hi, bud. It's Mark. Mark Dalton.
You in Yellowknife?
Yes, I am.
I suppose you want a load.
Yeah, what have you got?
Well, if you wait a day, I could find you something out of Edmonton heading east, or
what?
Or you can take an LTL load of native carbons and artwork down into Vancouver.
I'll take it.
Which one?
Vancouver?
That woman of yours is gonna have a fit.
Maybe, maybe not.
What? Vancouver? You said you'd be coming home after Yellowknife.
I never said that. You did.
Don't you want to see me again?
Of course I do.
Well, when?
When I get back.
And what do you
expect me to do until then? Spend my nights alone just waiting for you to come home?
Basically, yes.
No. You either start heading back right now or it's over between us.
Is that an ultimatum?
No, it's a promise.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
Mark thought about it for a few seconds and then informed her of his decision. One of the easiest decisions he'd ever made. No woman was ever going to make him choose between herself and Motherlode. There was just no comparing the two. Mark started the engine and pulled onto the highway, heading for Vancouver.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.